name of the, oh God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, here we are again. And this is the best place I want to be, right? Than any other place. Thank you, musicians. So, we are trying to give Brother, our pastor, a little break. You know, he worked hard.
Yes.
He deserves a break today. At McDonald's, whatever the hell. I don't know, he always saying jingles and stuff like that. Burger King, have it your way, right? So, we thank you for being here, and we appreciate you guys, and we are always ready to serve you. Ready to serve you, but not every time we want to, you know, or we ask to do it, but we have to be ready in season or out of season. So here we are, and we expect, you know, from God. We're depending on God. You're not depending on me. Because if you're depending on me, you might as well let just go. We are done. But we're depending on God. He knows what you have need in your heart. And he's able to supply that you have needed today.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to read first. Andy, you might be able to help me, Brother Andy. John 6:53. I don't have it on my notes, so. But I want to read that before. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I said unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The next one. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up in the last days. And let me read the next one, 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Can you imagine Jewish people that they are prohibited from drinking blood? And the way they cook the animals, and they had to drain completely, they had their technique. Can you imagine now Jesus said, if you don't drink my blood? No wonder they left.
Right.
I mean, what would you have done? When you are taught through tradition and your religion, you know, all these years in the Old Testament that you're not supposed to drink any animal, eat anything with blood in it. So no wonder some, whoa, who is this guy? So nevertheless, he told the disciples, hey, do you guys want to go too? But see, the disciples had a different relationship than the other guys. A very close relationship. They understood, maybe they didn't understand everything, but they knew that there was no other place.
Right.
Where shall we go?
Right.
We already seen.
Yeah.
So where shall we go? Even though we don't understand.
Right.
Even we don't see eye to eye. Even though, you know, this is new. That's a change, you know.
Right.
He threw a curve.
Right.
Like we said in baseball. And they just, well, where shall we go? And then that sometimes has to do with the right relationships, see?
Right.
Like a wife and a husband. Sometimes we have differences, arguments, you know, disagreement, but we don't take up and leave, right?
Right.
Why?
Amen.
Because it has to do with the relationship.
Right.
And that is what we're going to talk tonight about relationship. That is my subject tonight. So let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come. Father, teach us those things that we need to know, Father. Instruct us, Father. You know that all these things that we have need to mature, Father, and to change this body, Father, we need to know. And all these instructions and teachings has to come from the pulpit, Father. That is why you set it up. You gave those gifts. And all this teaching, rebuking, whatever you want to do tonight, the Bible is good for these things, Father, but it's to prepare us, to help us, to mature, to have a healthy and perfect relationship with you, because that is what you want from your wife, a good relationship, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you tonight, and we ask you blessings on this, my brothers and sisters that are here tonight. Bless them, and those that are listening, Father, meet all their needs tonight. If anybody is sick or afflicted, by your word, Father, we claim our healings. By your stripes, we are healed, and we believe it, Father. We thank you, and we give you all the glory and honor. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. You can be seated. My subject will be relationship. Now, I titled my sermon The Ten Commandments of Relationship. So I'm going to use that trying to explain about relationship. Now, I know that I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, and I'm not anybody to teach you relationship. In fact, I have problems with my own relationship, trying to teach you, you know, what is good. But anyway, we're going to let the Bible tell us what good and bad, see? Because I am in the same situation you are. I'm learning. I'm learning. It's a journey. It's a learning. It's a walking. And it's a learning. It's going to maturity. And that's the same thing with a couple that marry. You start, you know, you mature. You know, you learn more about each other. And then the more you continue in the journey and the things that happens to you, you know, you get more comfortable, you get more stable, see? Because the relationship has to grow. Can you imagine coming to church and not growing? You're still the same, and the relationship with God and with the people are still the same. It's just, I don't see that. The reason we come in is because we want to grow. We want to grow our relationship with God and with each other. So, a simple definition of relationship, basic and simple, the state of being connected. That's it. That's what a relationship do, connect you. Your wife and husband, you get connected. See? Friends, you know, this is a body. And when we come to church, it's because we are connected. If we are disconnected, then we're not stable. But we are connected. That's what we are here for. There's something that connects us. So there must be a relationship in the body. Because that connection, it comes from God. And that requires a relationship. So it will be a connection. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men the condemnation, by one man we all fell, even so by the righteousness of one, that is Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now this is what the New Living Testament says. Yes, Adam's one sin bring condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness bring the right relationship with God throughout salvation through Christ. So what happened in the garden was that the relationship was disconnected. The fellowship was disconnected. But then in Jesus Christ, we finally get back in connection with that we have before the foundation of the world. So that means that a connection is really important. Because that is what God wanted. God got disconnected from fellowship, from man. But God started the redemption program, plan, and it was to bring him back in what? In connection. So, yes, Adam was disconnected, and that was the relationship, and the fellowship was completely done away with, because he made the wrong decision, at least. Now, let me read you what this commentary said is the pursuing of God by A.W. Tozer, I guess. It is truism or saying or cliche to say that the order in nature depends upon the right relationships. Okay? The order of nature. And we know the whole galaxy, you know, the whole planet and the whole system, you know, if one of those planets are out of, you know, relationship with the other ones, is chaos. Right. Nature teaches us that there's a relationship. Yeah. the bees and the flowers and the pollen. That just don't happen by accident. There's a relationship in nature, and as long as that relationship, if there is harmony, it's peace. Right. But when man breaks that relationship, right, it's chaos.
Right.
It says that it's upon the right relationships. To achieve harmony, each thing must be in its proper position relative to each other. See? So, you and I, in the body, we have a position. And that position depends on your relation also, and who you are and what you are and the responsibilities. And if we are not in that position with each other, God shows your position and show your gift. And that is your position and your place. And it has a very important, you know, duty and responsibility. It's not just because. Harmony. See? Just like the planet, just like the universe. If you're not in your position, the church is not in harmony. And it just takes one person to be out of position. If you belong to this body, this local body, and this is your pastor, and you are not in your position, the dynamic completely changes. Because we all have to be in our place of duty, in our relationship to one another. See? My responsibility is to preach to you. Why? What happened if the pastor don't come? But the deacon cannot preach. He's supposed to be the deacon. He's the policeman. See? And, you know, somebody has all the gift. But see, everybody has a position. And we all depending on those positions. He says, otherwise, he says, and human life is no different than that. See? I have hinted before in this chapter that the cause of our human miseries is a radical moral dislocation. So you're supposed to be here, but you're not there. Dislocation. You're supposed to be at home, whatever, at 9, 10 o'clock, not running around with the bodies, you know, with your bodies, you know, doing and not doing. You're supposed to be at home with your family.
Right.
This location.
Right.
So it brings misery. Are you supposed to go to the game with your child, you know, that T-ball or whatever, and you're supposed to be there that Saturday and they call you to work? Well, somebody's going to feel miserable. And upset in our relation to God and to each other. For whatever else the fault may have been, it was most certainly is a sharp change in man's relationship to his Creator.
Right.
And that's what changed it, the relationship. And that's how to change back. He says, he adopted toward God an altered attitude. Something has changed.
Right.
His attitude has changed. And by so doing, destroy the proper creator-creature relationship in which, unknown to him, his true happiness lies.
Right.
We're chasing. What are we chasing?
Right.
You want happiness? And then we, you know, we all like to be happy. But what are we chasing?
Right.
Listen to me. If God is not here, if the presence of God is not here, and he's not blessing you, I can see that. But if the presence of God is here,
yeah,
then there is life.
Right.
And if there is life, why do you need to be, you know, chasing something else?
Yeah.
If there's life here,
yeah,
and this is your position, your duty,
yeah,
and this is where God wants you to be,
right,
then I'm satisfied.
Right.
I don't need to look no other place.
Right.
In that day, they said, Christ is here, Christ is over there. I said, don't even go here, don't even go there. I know where Christ is at. He's here, and he's here, and his presence is here.
Amen.
And everything that I have need is here.
Right.
I'm not saying that we cannot go and visit and with brothers and sisters that we love. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that everything that I have need is here.
Right.
And I don't have to chase nothing else. Because I know who I have believed. So that made me stable. One of the things that since I know myself, is stability. It's one of my main things, even with my family. When I was bringing up my children and my wife, stability. Because that is a very important for children to be stable. Because they are not, they do the same thing the fathers do and the mother do. They are not stable. That's what we talked about coming to church. Stability. Not one day is this, and one day is the next relationship. Nowadays this, and how do you think the kids are looking at that? There will be no stability. When they grow, they will do the same thing. Why? Because the relationship that we have between church and things and work and things, they have to be in the right priorities. So my first commandment, it says in Exodus 34:14, "For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, and is Jealous God." The New Living Translation said, "You must worship no other god." We got that. Nobody's have idols. "For the Lord, whose very name is Jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you and me." See? So if you have eyes for something else, can you imagine a wife having eyes for somebody else? Well, I will get jealous too. And the same thing with wife. We have a certain amount of greater jealousy, some more than other ones. Why? Because God is jealous about the little bride. God is jealous about you. He don't want you to be seeking other things but seeking him only. He don't want you to love nothing else but him. He wants you to love his word and that only. Because that is a relationship that he wants you to restore you. See, because without him, there's no connection. If there's no connection, we lost. We were lost already. Now I'm connected to him. So I want to obey. I want to love him. I want to do everything that he wants me to do. Before I make a step, I want to make sure this is pleasing to you or not. Why? Because he's a jealous God. Can you imagine a wife serving a husband that he don't care? I mean, what kind of a life is that? I don't think it's gonna, the marriage is going to get better. It probably degrade worse and worse until, because we need to care. He cares and we need to care. And nothing, it should be nothing in between me and God, you and God at all. So let's make sure that when we make decisions, we pray. Exactly what God wants us to do. You don't need to know what I tell. You don't need to ask me or ask the pastor. That's fine, or the church. You need to ask God before you make any decision. Because if you make the wrong decision, God is jealous. Yeah. And if you trust a man, it's cursed. That's what the Bible says. Cursed is a man that trusts another man. Yeah. We should not trust but only God. So the first thing is that we must realize that God is jealous. And what did this mean, this relationship? A person, I don't know what this, okay, I'm sorry. I used this paper. Sometimes this technology is okay, but. So the relationship with God is just like a relationship with anybody else, you know. In your life, it's had to do with fellowship, you know, with love, with trust, you know, between two persons. It means that you like to know that person, and that person like to know you. See, so and that is what God wants. God wants a relationship that is going to be trustworthy, that you're going to depend. We're going to depend on Him, and He's going to depend on you. I mean, it works both ways. It's not just one-sided road. So God is jealous in that sense. Now, the second commandment says in Leviticus 26:46, "These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hands of Moses." Now, the New Living Translation said, "These are the decrees, regulation, and instruction that the Lord gave through Moses in Mount Sinai as evidence of the relationship between himself and the Israelite." So that's what the church is here for. We come to get instructions. We come to get regulation, decrees. We come to learn through the mouth of Moses, through the mouth of the person that God has chosen to be here. If you're going to learn and you're going to mature, that means you learn from the pulpit. That is what we are church, to educate you. You know, to teach you biblical doctrines, to teach you how to behave, how to have the right faith grounded in the biblical faith, and to promote fellowship, and to promote faith and hope. That's why we come to church, to teach you those things, so you can mature, your relationship between you and God matures in that sense. And we are living in such a dangerous time that we need to learn. This is a time that we need to learn. Actually, you know, sometimes we come to church and we hate changes. You know? Well, wow. The pastor said this, but yesterday was this. And when we had this COVID, you know how things were changing? And the CDC was changing. And we was having a hard time to listen and everybody else changing. And sometimes we had to, from week to week, we're changing. Well, today is mass. Tomorrow there's no mass. Six, no, you know, and we change things. But you know what? Regardless, sometimes you cannot get mad. And sometimes you might don't agree with what the brother is talking in the pulpit. You don't see, and you don't agree, maybe, eye to eye. Nevertheless, we got to respect. Because this is God ordained position to help you, not to destroy you. We're trying to help you that your relationship will grow and grow. In fact, God put the pastor here to watch over your soul. And that's what all the instruction and all the changes, he's trying to make sure he can protect you. Because you don't know what is out there. You might think you know what is out there, but he knows more than you. He has a lot of relationship with pastors. And they talk among themselves. And they know what's going on out there and who believes what, when, and how, and where. And sometimes he don't want you to be exposed to certain things that you should not be exposed to. But he tried to protect you. But sometimes we just buck changes. Another thing that we hardly like is boundaries. But the church has boundaries. I mean, can you imagine having children and let him do whatever he wants and no boundaries? No expectations. Yeah, whatever. Come when you want to come. Go where you want to go. Do whatever you want. Can you imagine what kind of a child you will have? So boundaries. Church has to have boundaries to protect you. It's all it is to it. Just like you have your children, you have boundaries. And you have certain expectations. You do this, don't do this, do that. Well, the church is the same thing. You're a family. And the pastor's trying to set these boundaries so you won't get hurt. That's all it is, too. Then we go out there and something happened, and then we blame the pastor. When we try to tell you, no, do that or do this, and we have certain boundaries. Because that's the purpose of the church, according to the Bible. This is a training center. We are here to teach you how to live with God, how to have a good relationship with God or with one another. See, discussing boundaries, we have to be honest about what you are comfortable or not. If this is a family of God, you should not feel that if you speak with the pastor or with some of the deacon or with somebody else, and you're not comfortable with certain things that is said, or why can I do this, or why can, well, the Bible doesn't say nothing about that, or the message doesn't say, whatever. If you don't feel comfortable, why don't you talk to the pastor?
Right.
Be honest. Yeah. Tell him, you know, I don't agree or I don't see this quite. Can you help me? If you go with the right and sincere heart and honesty, God will explain it to you either way.
Right.
I'm not saying that you have to be right and wrong or he's right and wrong or good or bad. I'm talking about honesty. It's required for good relationships.
Right.
To be honest. Even if you're not comfortable with what is being said. Because as a church, you know, we got certain expectations. But I know you got certain expectations too. But how do I know that? And how do you know what to do, what not to do, if you don't, you know, we don't talk?
Right.
Yes, of course, you understand what the church expects and what we expect of you. You know, if you feel like talking to the pastor or talking to someone, then they're going to retaliate or they're going to, you know, blow it over the pulpit. That's not the right relationship to begin with. If you feel that way, you are not in a good relationship. Can you imagine your wife cannot talk to you because she's afraid you're going to and shut up and retaliate and retribution? How, what kind of a marriage is that? Well, it will not grow. It will end sooner or later, or she will stay under that punishment until something happens. Because some women do that. Some women say, well, I am praying and I hope. You know, he says he was sorry. I know I'm waiting for him to change. But doing the same thing the same way, nothing is changing. Something has to change. So we need to be honest. And if we don't feel comfortable, let's not blame anybody. Let's not go by feelings. Just be honest. Go to the pastor and say, I don't feel comfortable with this. Can you explain to me? But don't explain to argue or to see who is right and wrong or who is going to win. That's not the way, you know, I and my wife and I talk about it. Because if you do that, you never get nowhere. Because what we're trying to do is control somebody else. Try to control each other to see who's going to, you know, come on top. That's not the right attitude. We have to be honest. See? So we can assure that we can get what we expect, you know? Honesty is necessary. Like that, I know your expectations and you know the church expectation. The same thing we do when people come to church, you know, to visit. It's fine. Our expectation or boundary is this. If you come to this church about a month consistently, then it's time for you to decide if our expectation is, if you are coming that often, that either you like it or you want to join, not join, nothing we have to join here, but your expectation, and we need to know, the pastor wants to know your expectation. Are you going to be a visitor for life or are you going to want to join so you can be in your position and your relationship will change completely? Because I cannot do anything. I cannot expect anything from you until you tell me what your expectations are. Right. And it's not fair for you to wait for me, and it's not fair for me to wait for you. Right. You know, so we tell the deacons, after a month, you know, talk to them and ask them, what is your expectation? Do you like this church? Do you have a church? No, you're looking for one. Do you like this one? Do you want to stay? You want to be your home church? And then we set up a meeting with the pastor. See? But if we don't do that, then people come and people go.
Right.
And sometimes people, before they go, they leave things worse than they came in sometimes. Because everything that happens in a fellowship, in a relationship, will affect everybody else. It's just like sometimes, you know, you and your wife living nicely at home and everything is okay until your mother-in-law comes in to stay. Now it's another head. Now we have to, you know, another relationship. See? And she don't know if she's going to stay or go. And I don't know, well, you know, what are you going to do? So we sit down and you talk. You be honest. You know, with your mother-in-law or your suegra. Hey, you know, I love you, but let me tell you, this is my house. And this is the expectation. That's all. Be honest. And she can do the same thing. Well, I'm here, but I'm just going to be a couple of weeks. And, you know, and that's my room. And I buy my groceries. And I get in my room. Don't bother me in my room. That's my space. Okay, you know. And we discuss expectations. What do we expect from each other? And I think this is fair. If we have a good relationship, right? Nobody has to get mad. If we get mad, it's because, and we get violence, it's because that relationship has just become toxic. Some of you guys came from some toxic relationships. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So, number three, Joshua 22:28. Therefore I said we, that it shall be when they should said when they should so say, wow, all these S's, to us or to our generation in time to come, that we may say again, behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which is our fathers made, not for burning offerings, not for sacrifices, but is a witness between us and you. Now, this is what the New Living Translation. If they said this, our descendants can reply, look at this copy of the Lord altar that our ancestors made. It is not for burning offerings or sacrifices. It is a reminder of the relationship both of us have with the Lord. So when you come to church, you should be reminded of the relationship. When you come over here, it's not to remind you how bad and how good you are. That's right, self-righteousness. When you come over here and you see all this, this place that we have consecrated for God, is to remind you of your responsibility, of your relationship with Him. Amen. See? And that's why sometimes we come a little early so we can sit down and we can, get our minds set up and the right attitude.
Right.
See? Amen. And kind of get in that good relationship with God. See? Not that we don't have it, but so we can enter in and forget about everything and establish that relationship with God. Because if we don't come with that kind of a mentality, then this relationship is not going to be good. If this is okay, this is okay. But if this is not okay, this never will be okay. The relationship within the body. See, if this is connected correctly, this will be connected correctly. So he's saying the reminder of the relationship both of us have with the Lord. So when we come to church, what should come to our mind is, Lord, here I am. If I have faltered, examine me. If I have said something, if I had done something, if I had done something that affected our relationship, I want to make it right. But that's why Brother Van said, you have to make things right before we come to those doors. See? We don't want to come with any disbelief, any sin, any wrongdoings, any bad. Just make things right with God, because that relationship, when we come to this altar, this reminds us, that relationship with God has to be right. I don't saying that you're not going to make mistakes, but when we come to church, let's get this right. Take time. Meditate, read your Bible, get this, ask God for forgiveness, whatever. And then we can start dealing with this relationship. It will fall right in place. See? So it says, talking about, we want to have healthy relationship, and I'm going to talk about toxic relationship. So honesty and truth, respect. Sometimes we don't have a lot of open communications. See? And that takes an effort, and it takes work from both sides. Communication is one, if it's not the first, thing that a couple. Can you imagine living with a wife and a husband and they never talk to each other? He gets up in the morning, he goes to work, and she gets up and she goes someplace else, and they come back at night. Thank you, and yeah, good. My day was good, yeah. And then that's it. What kind of a relationship is that? What kind of relationship it is if you don't pray? Praying is communicating with God. That's what Brother Van said. A Christian, a good Christian, will always pray and what? And read your Bible. Why? Because you are communicating. Praying is talking to God. So we need to talk to Him, because I in not only one-sided communication. See? I want this and I want that. He's not a big fatty Santa Claus, asking for things. And I need a Cadillac and I need a good job and I need this money and this inversion, I want it to go right. No. Talking to God is also waiting for Him to answer you. And He knows what you have need. More than you know what you need. In fact, He knows exactly what I need. So when we pray, communication should be open. You know, the problem with some of us is that we kind of shy. We don't like to talk too much. I know some of you are shy, and you don't like to talk much. You know, I don't have no choice. I'm here, so I have to talk a lot. I told Brother John Jabra one day, I says, you know, I am the kind of fellow that I'm shy. You know, I don't like to be seen or heard. And he says, but you're in the wrong place. Because you pray, you preach, and you play the trumpet. So it's too late for that. I said, well, that's the reason I'm doing that, because I don't like it. You know, I don't like to preach. I don't like to be up here. I don't like to be playing. I like to play, but I'm always shy. You know, when I was in sixth grade, my graduation on sixth grade, I remember, I've always been so shy. I'm not a people person, really. So while they were, they asked us to come to the front and stand, you know, it was a Christian academy, and stand here, they were going to present the class and blah, blah, blah. And it was a line here and the boys, and I was kind of behind this boy here trying to hide. I didn't want nobody to see me. That was how shy I was. And I'm still a little bit shy. So what I'm saying is that sometimes, you know, we don't talk a lot. Some of us, we all different. And some of you talk too much, and some of you don't talk enough. You should borrow. You should let somebody else share some of that stuff with somebody. But, you know, that's the way God made us. So in a relationship, you know, you need to communicate. Listen, this is not a powerhouse here. This is not a dictatorship. If you don't agree with something, don't just communicate that. And you don't have to communicate in the sense that, you know, to challenge somebody because you don't believe in that and you believe in something else. Sit down. Let's sit down. A good relationship, you will communicate. Right. When you are not agree with your wife, you sit down and talk to her and you tell her why, or the other way around. It doesn't matter. Or you guys don't do that. Or your husband just, you do what I said, or that's not what we run. This pastor don't do that. Right. I don't know about, I cannot talk about everybody else. But this pulpit is not a powerhouse that, you know, you do what I said, or else. You know, a good relationship with the pastor and the congregation is that if, you know, you have something, just don't feel afraid. Right. If you're still afraid, there's something wrong with the relationship between you and the pastor. Right. But I cannot talk to the pastor. What are you doing here? Yeah. If you don't trust the pastor and you don't have a good relationship, then what are we doing? And I'm not scolding you. I'm saying, think about it. If you don't love your wife, what are you doing at home? Oh, I heard many people say, well, because the children, but as soon as they grow up, I'm out of here. I heard that before. I'm only here because of the children. What kind of relationship is that? But I'm only here in this church because I like the people. And I like the worship. But what about everything else? The pastor, the ministers, the ministry, the deacons. If you don't, then that relationship is kind of, you know, sided. I try to make you aware that a relationship has more than to offer than what you think. Right. The church is a family. Right. And you have to treat it just like your family. Right. And you don't treat your family the way sometimes you treat church, is what I'm talking about. And you shouldn't, because we are a family. Right. So, respect, trust, open communication. See, that's a good relation. What is a toxic? That some of you came out of it. Well, can you imagine being in a family that the husband don't support the wife, or she's always misunderstood, or one of them is always misunderstood, or someone is always attacked or demeaned, you know? What kind of a relationship is that in a family? See? So I know some of you guys came out of this toxic relationship out there. So, and some of you went on the pastors that were possessive. And you are mine and no one else. And you better do what I ask you to do. And if you don't, I will manipulate you somehow. See, that's control. They want to control. And if you don't do what I said and you want to do what you want to, I will humiliate you in front of the congregation. And I'm going to tell them everything. You know, send me a note and a letter and I'm going to read it and I'm going to humiliate you. But see, those are tactics. This pastor, I don't know about anybody else, but this pastor is not that way. See? This church is not that way. This is not the kind of relationship that we are, running in this place. See, we are a family, and we love each other, and we love God. And we know that in that kind of a toxic relationship, you know, there's no trust. You don't trust the pastor, and the pastor don't trust you anyway. That's why he sent the deacons behind you to spy on you, and everybody's spying on you. And then the only thing, they don't spend too much time together. See, because they tell you, you know, who to get together with and who not to. Because they don't want you together. Because if we come to, the devil hates when we come together. See, but there's power when we're in unity. So what do you think the devil wants to do? Separate. And then everybody got issues with changes in those places. Now the pastor want this. Yesterday was this. Now it's that. What I'm trying to say is that then you come with that kind of, you hurt. And we all been hurt at some point, maybe not in the same degree, but we all been hurt.
Right.
Then we come to church and we try to protect ourselves. We not to close because we don't want to be hurt anymore. See? And then we fear. We're in a church that's supposed to be a good relationship. You know, that we trust everybody, that everybody has confidence on each other, that everybody is respectful. In a church that we're supposed to be all free of violence and attack. We are free, to trust each other and to express our expectations. No, you know. Now we are protecting. Why? Because I've been hurt before and I don't want to hurt anymore. So you know what happened? That you fear to open, to have can you imagine what kind of relationship with a wife and a husband when they won't open to each one? I mean, when my wife and I, you don't have no secrets. Everything should be in the open, right? Can you imagine coming and you close yourself so tight because you don't want to let nobody in and you don't want nothing out, see? So when you have conversation, not very shallow. Why? Because you don't want to tell anybody who you are and what you are and that you're hurting and you have feelings. You take all that and just keep it bottled. And you're afraid to say anything because the pastor's going to then blow over the pulpit. You're afraid to have a real relationship with people in the body because you're afraid. But you know what the Bible says? Love casts fear. So if you have fears right now that this is going to be the same as that you came from, and you're trying to to protect yourself, and you don't want to open freely in open communication because you feel that somebody's going to hurt you, here's an altar.
Yeah.
Because that relationship will not go too far. I promise you. Because you are going to be miserable, and everybody else is going to be miserable. Those kind of relationship, they're never happy. Somebody's hurting always. But why? The thing is, why people will want to act that way? Because they think everybody's the same. This pastor is not the same as that pastor, or that pastor, or that pastor.
Right.
See? Now, as soon as you think it is, there was a couple of families that came from Brother Noriega, before you guys came in. I don't want to mention name. But one day, the sister told me outside after I'm finished preaching, and I was dressed up in, like I dress all the time, and I talk the way I talk, and that's how Hispanic that learn English come from Mexico. They always have this, accent. So he said, you remind me You remind me of that place that I came out of it. You know, the way I spoke, the way I moved, the way I conversed reminded her some people are there too. And I said, well, I'm not none of those people. But then that limited my relationship with that sister completely. Why? Because she thinks that I could do the same thing and hurt the same thing she got hurt. And they're not here with us today. Because I don't know what else they thought about the pastor and about the ministry. But if we cannot move forward, if you've been hurt, I've been hurt, we're all going to be hurt. And if you have not been hurt, you will be hurt. But you have to be honest. Go to that person. Maybe the person did it in non-intentional. He didn't even know he did it. And the Bible tells us to go to one another and confess our faults. Not sins, our faults, he says. So if somebody do something, confess it. But why hold it? You know, one time, Tina's not here, but I talk about my family, you know. Tina got hurt. Kind of feelings hurt. A boy hurt her feelings. And she came home crying, you know. So I sat down and talked to her, and I said, you know, and I feel bad, you know. You don't see your children crying, you know. You don't want to see your you want to see your children happy. But I said, you know, it won't be the first, and it won't be the last. And you're going to be hurt. And what you heard, the only thing that I advise you is not to close yourself, because every time you get hurt a little, but you close yourself because you want to We want to protect ourselves. That is humanity. And the more you protect yourself, you come to the point that you will not open to anybody. And then you might find the person that you like and you will like to marry, and you cannot even open. And that kind of relationship never works.
Right.
So the same thing at church. The more you keep, the more you keep, and the more you keep, and the more you don't want people to know you, and the more you want to be a kind of a wave from this guy or that guy, is because your relationship is going to be miserable.
Right.
It cannot get no better. Anyway, so I know that we all at some point had come from different relationships. Even we were husbands and wives. We're not talking about only church. I know some of you came out of toxic relationships, and it's not a fun, because you cannot trust another man. After that, if you don't do things right and open up, you know, not every man out there is like me. Thank God. And not every pastor is like this pastor.
Right. Right.
Unless you tried it and he did the same thing to you. But sometimes we make accusations, we have no facts.
Right.
But don't you go and find out.
Yeah.
Be honest. You know, be open. We're supposed to be honest, and we're supposed to be, as Christians, we're supposed to be open to God and to one another. Do you hide things from God? No, because he knows everything. But because I don't know everything. But sometimes things come out of the pulpit. Let's continue. 5. So is there, counseling. Couples counseling. Today's a good day for relationship or counseling. I thought it was, you know. So, is he that laid up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God? Yes, a person is a fool to store up early wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. You know what he says? Sometimes in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and loses his soul? That's not going to happen here. But it can happen in a lesser, you know, plane. That I'm right, and that's all it is to it. And I don't care what so-and-so said, I am right. You know? And sometimes everybody else is wrong. So sometimes we have decided to, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm winning, you're losing. But that is the same thing. If you go that far, it's just about saying, well, you know, I'm rich and I don't have need of anything. That's what the Laodicean church says. So another thing that we don't want to do He says that the New Living, he says, and what you benefit, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost and destroyed? So here we are. You know, we are miserable. We are, you know, trying to find out, you know, happiness in every place when it's already here.
Right.
So you lose. You know, you lose that. Why? Because you cannot see it. You're blind. Blind because the things that happen in our life. Putting God first in the church and then yourself last. And that's one thing that is being told to us. God first, church second, and you last. But we try to do the other way around. I'm first, and everything else seconds. But you know what? When you help others, not when you help yourself, when you help others, you can see heaven's doors open. It is a blessing to help others and to serve others, but not yourself. So what can I do in the body to have a good relation to help others and not myself? So the Bible also said, Brother Branham always said, the way down is up. The way up is down. I'm trying to give you a test, but you didn't say nothing, so I guess you're not listening. The way up is down. So we have to die every day to our feelings and to all that is against the word of God. Every day. Not just, see, this is not just a one-time deal. This is every day. You're going to go through things every day in this journey. And you're going to have to crucify all kind of stuff. You know, your flesh with your feelings sometimes. Your pride. Sometimes our pride has to be now, every day. See? So, we're supposed to be a team, a family. We're supposed to work together. See? Even if we don't see eye to eye, Brother Branham, one time, you know, Brother Doug told you about it. The church wanted to approve some kind of a project. Brother Branham didn't want to do it. He voted no anyway. But they said, the majority said yes. So the next day, he was the first one there. Brother Branham was the first one there. I said, I changed my vote, right? So that's what relationship do. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to realize, you know, that it's not all about you.
Right.
That it's about others as well.
Right.
See? 7. For the promise that he should be the heir, you want to see, of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. See? The New Living Translation says clearly, God promised to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not in obedience. It was based not in his obedience to God's laws, but on the right relationship with God that comes by faith. All he's trying to say is, we don't go by righteousness, our righteousness, because I'm good, because I do this, because I do that, because I come to church, because I don't come to church. All that is righteousness. It is just as bad as not to come and saying, because I always come to church, I'm good. That's righteousness. Because we don't go by how good I am or how bad I am. Even if we are bad or good, still, that is not what God is looking for. If you bad, God still love you. If you good, God still love you. God didn't start love you because you made mistakes or because you did something wrong. God is not going to hate you because you don't come to church and love somebody else because he never failed church. That is self-righteousness. We're talking about faith. We walk in faith. What did your faith tell you to do? Not what your feelings and what you think. It's what your emotions telling you. It's what the word says by faith. We walk by faith, not by feelings. It says, right relationship with God that come by faith. So to argue what's good and what bad and but that's not what is in the word and this is not in the message. That is all righteousness. What the walk has to be by faith. What is your faith says? That means what is God says? And if we open our hearts and we open our, we sincere and ask God, show me by faith. He will show you. And if you were wrong, apologize. See, that's being sincere and honest, that if you are not right, then you confess it. Sorry. I had an idea that this was this way, but that was me. Wrong. So, there's only three important things in a relationship that I know. There's more things, but there's three important things. And that is communication is the first one. Without a communication, a church will not survive. The family or your family will not survive. We have to talk. We have to communicate how I feel about things. Even though, you know, sometimes you say, well, we don't care about your feelings. We do care. See? I'm not saying that your feelings are the right ones, but we do care how you feel. And if we are a church and we are family, we should be able to talk to one another. Well, I feel this way about this. Well, let's see what, you know, what is that? If you have a question that is a biblical question, it should be in the Bible. So let's go and find out answers. See? Communication. Now, remember that Brother Brown says that there's three rooms in the house. And the first one is the first one. It doesn't matter if you have 100 rooms, bathrooms. It's only three rooms, the kitchen. And that's where the communication starts. Over you know, dating. You go dating and then you go eating and in a nice restaurant and you get to talking. But that's the reason you go. You want to learn. You want to talk. You want to communicate. You want to know what the expectation, what's your expectation, and I want to know, you want to know what my expectations are. You know, that is the time to get to know. We communicate. But the second room is where you make a commitment. See? That is when you decide, I'm going to make a commitment to you or to each other. But when you get to the last one, it is intimacy. That's where life happens. Life don't happen in the kitchen. You come into church because you want life. Life don't happen in the living room. But there, we have to have communication. We have to be committed. And then we have to have intimacy with the Word, with God. Because that's where life comes forward. That's where the fruit comes forward. From being in the Holy of Holies. Having communion with Him. See? And if we're having communion with Him, if we had gone that far, there's no way you can stop being fruitful. You will bring life. See? For you and those that live around you. The next one, Romans 8:5-11 says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have not received atonement. Now, the New Living Translation said, "Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friend of God through Christ Jesus." So, if you're not happy, there's something wrong. Because happiness has nothing to do with how I talk to you or how what I look like. It's what your relationship with God is. He is the one that gives you joy. He is the one that gives you happiness. He is the one that takes care of you, not me. I'm just as you, your brother. But if you are not happy, then don't blame the church. What is your relationship with God? See? Because when you get that straight, then we can get straight in my relationship. I get mine straight and we can have a good time. See, right? Because our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the other one is... I'm already in the minute, but Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship with Christ. See? So that is what we're trying to do. We're trying to teach you, we're trying to structure, to present you perfect, a perfect relationship with God. See? Like I said, it's a commitment, it's hard work, because nothing is easy. See? Sometimes you have to make sacrifices. You know, I sacrificed my family. I mean, Lydia's family. When I came here to Tucson, that was my family here in Tucson. There's eight of them, and there's a lot of them, a lot of nephews. And when I came, and God brought me into this message. Sunday was over. They do everything on Sundays and on the weekends. And I told them when I came to message, if you do on Sunday, I cannot go. They get together for Easter. I said, I stopped going to Easter. You know, I had to sacrifice my children with their cousin. They never had hardly any relationship with God. We cannot participate in the thing they were participating. See, I wouldn't want them to expose them to those things. I'm trying to protect them.
Right.
And that's what the pastor is trying to do, protect you.
Right.
See, and my children and I, we kind of separated. You know, the word separates you from unbelief. And the Christmas time will come, you know. And all these things. I had to. Why? Because I had to protect my family. And sometimes we had to make sacrifices, you know. But the payoff is a deep relationship and love with God, see? The more you love him, the more God is jealous, guys, and the more you love him and you show him that you love him, the more the relationship goes deeper and deeper and deeper in love, like the song says. Now, let me read you something, because I'm almost, right there. So, we are in church to create a healthy relationship that will last forever. Respect and friendship and trust. That's why we come to church. We need to help each other to feel good about each other and not feel less than the other one. No big eyes or small ears. We all the same. And we are here to help each other. We're not here to criticize you. Just because you think a little bit different than me or you look different than me, we are not going to criticize you for that. We want to have open conversations, communications, and do not be afraid to be judged, and do not be afraid to be criticized. I don't know. I don't think that thing happened in this church. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I live in a different world like you guys live here, but, you know, sometimes we get in trouble because we said too much anyway, but let me read you what Brother Branham said, and I'm going to finish. But before I quote Brother Branham, I'm going to tell you what's going on. Brother Branham told the story about the man and the wife that were driving in the cars going somewhere. You know, the kind of, you know, elderly couple, maybe not that old, but they were in the car. They've been married for a while. So he was out there in the driver's side. And she was way out there in the passenger side. And she's wondering what happened to us when we were dating, when we married. I mean, she was almost right on top of him, you know, not even no room to drive. You know, get out here, muévete, you know, move. I mean, there was closeness. There was a good, happy relationship. But through the years, Brother is saying, you know, now he's out there driving and she's way out here by the door almost. She falls out of the door. And she wondering what happened to us. And that happened in church after a while. But then we start asking, what happened to us? But it's not what happened to us. That's what her question. And he says, well, I have never moved, honey. I'm still in the same place I was. It was you that, with the years, you know, the connection was kind of breaking out. And that's what happens sometimes after years and years in church. Sometimes we get further, instead of getting closer to God, in getting closer to the family, instead of getting more closer, we kind of drift away. And then we ask, what's wrong with this church? Or what's wrong with the pastor? Well, what's wrong with you? We haven't changed.
Right.
If something changed, it was you. Just get closer.
Amen.
You know, when we studied, everybody was happy. Everybody was having a good time. And we were closer. We had a good family. And we had all kind of things. You got that when you started. But what happened now? Well, a little further away from the pastor, and a little bit away from the deacons, and a little bit away from this guy, and I don't know. So throughout the years, then it becomes like there's no more fun to go to church. But you need to get the fun back to church. But the first thing we have to do, get your relationship with God straight. You cannot tell me, like the Bible said, I love God, but hate my brother. That's a lie. That's what the Bible says. If you said that you love God, but you hate your brother, we don't hate anybody here.
Right.
All we're talking about is that if the love of God is not there, what is left? Because you and I are a human being. We're not able to have perfect love in ourselves. In fact, that looks like hate if we try to. So, if our relationship with God is good, you know, me and God are like this. This got to be even just as good. It's not possible to me to see that you are in a good relationship with God and not with the family of God. Can you tell me that you are in a good husband and in good relationship with God and not with the rest of the family, your family? You disregard your family, whatever you want to, or you don't care? No, you do care. And the more you care, the more he cares, the more you care. See, you don't go drifting further away. You get more and more and more closer. The more you care about the assembly, the more you care about the people, the more you care about God, you should be closer and closer and closer. If we're drifting away, there's something wrong. The relationship is not working. And if it's not working, let's find out what's going on. Be honest. Communicate. Find out. Because can you imagine being in a place that you're not wanted? That's a miserable place. If you think nobody wants you, might as well then do something. That's why people just go from church to church.
Right.
Looking for what?
Right.
Well, life is here. God is here.
Amen.
Everything that I have need is here.
Amen.
Amen? So let me tell you what Brother Brown said. The next room is the bedroom. Then, when you go to the bedroom, then you come into fellowship and relationship. See? Relationship brings fellowship. So you in fellowship, your relationship with him is good. You got fellowship with him. This relationship has to have fellowship too. We cannot have fellowship with God and not with his children. It's impossible. You become into relationship. Then you have a complete fellowship. So if you tell me that you are in complete fellowship with God and with your fellow man, then there has to be fellowship and relationship. It cannot be no other way, because you cannot have complete fellowship until you come in a relationship. I told you what relationship was. It was a connection. When I get next to you, Brother John, you feel the connection? Of course. You know how I know? We have the same spirit. When I'm around Brother John, and I'm picking on him because I know him, so I love him, and he knows he loves me, but you know you can tell when somebody loves you. You cannot lie to children. You know that they know when they love you and you don't love them? If they feel a connection or not, they know it. You cannot lie to children. One time my son went to school and he got paddled. You know, He said it wasn't his fault, but he got hit. And the teacher went and prayed for him. He says, I'm sorry, this is going to hurt you more than me, but I want to pray for you. And when he got home, he told me, Dad, this is what happened. And it wasn't my fault, but this is what happened. And the teacher pardoned me, and he prayed for me. But I know he didn't love me. That children's talking. Because he knows that I love him. And I do pardon him when I was a kid. But he knew that I loved him. It's a difference between my correction and someone else's correction without love.
Right.
So when we correct, people know if you love them or not.
Right.
You cannot hide these things. He says, becoming anyone knows that and listen. So it is with the church today. We got to too many people. We got too many of them that are ashamed to go into a complete. If you don't want to open up yourself completely to your brother and your sister, there's a problem. You have a problem with a relationship in church. So you will always be that way. You will always be kind of a, you know, okay, I better not say nothing to this sister because she's going to tell everybody. Or you will be afraid of having a meaningful relationship. I mean, if you're going to have it at church, where are you going to have it? With your friends at work? See, too many that are ashamed to go into a complete relationship with God, to new life and new birth, saying, if you have entered in the holiest of holies and you have a perfect relationship with God, perfect mean that is good as it should be, you know, then you should not be afraid with any other relationship with his children. And if you are, then there's something wrong with the relationships. If we are the bride of Christ, then why cannot we go into relationship? Then all the shameful and backwardness and all is gone from us. So if it hasn't gone from you, you still gotta, you're still blaming the pastor for the toxic relationship, and you cannot open up, and you have trying to be careful not to say the right thing. So when you approach the deacon, or when you approach me or anybody else, you kind of walking in eggshells. That's how you feel about it. What kind of a relationship is that? If I cannot be honest and you cannot be honest with me or to your brothers and sisters, you have not entered in a complete relationship with God. I don't care what you say. That's what Brother Man said. He says, life and new birth. If we are the brother of Jesus Christ, then why cannot we go into a relationship? Then all the shame and the backwardness is gone from us. If we come into a complete relationship, being born again, see, I don't care. If we are born again, that's why we preach the Holy Spirit. We are born again. All that has to disappear. The president of the United States could be standing on the streets. You shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You don't care because you are coming to a relationship, see? You are born again. You are a new child. You are in the Chicana glory with God, fellowshipping with him. What we need today, brother, is a worship under the blood, a worship in complete relationship to die out. So what he's saying is, if we are full of the Holy Ghost and we are participating and we in heavenly places, it shouldn't be no bad relationship. All that stuff disappears. See? But if we're still worrying about a bad relationship, there's something wrong. What is the leader bride says now? Wait a minute. I just don't know. I don't know if a married life consists of just things. Just like saying, well, wait a minute, I don't know if that's right. I know I heard it from the pulpit, or I read it, it's reading it. But if you have any question, go and find the quote to see if I change anything. Right. I'm not lying to you, this is what he said. And if you doubt that, you don't know if that's right or wrong, then go and open it and read it. Right. That's all. See, she would never come into fellowship. See, if we are still doubting, we come to church and I don't know about that, and I don't know about this, and I don't know why I can do this and not. But, you know, it says, first come into relation. That's what the matter with the church today. See, I don't believe that in that there kind of religion that makes you shout and call it a heartfelt religion, and I don't believe in such a thing as that. No wonder you never come into it yet. You come into it and really get under the Chicana glory when the power of the Holy Ghost is falling down upon you. You know something happens to you. That's that you have passed from death to life and become a new creature. And all those other things, they pass away. Amen. So, the seminar is over now. You can stand. So, relationships. Stay connected. If you are going through something that you feel that you are disconnected from the church or from your brother and your sister, then there's no relationship. And if it is, it's a bad one. Because a relationship is supposed to connect you back. See? With God and with one another. And that is what I want. And that is why we come to church. So we can be taught how to connect. And connect. And connect. And not disconnect. We don't want to disconnect. That's what the devil wants. You know that all those thoughts about what I was talking about, that's the devil, because he still wants you to disconnect. Because if you disconnect, there's no fellowship. There's no relationship. And that's what he wants you to be. You will never go forward. You will never mature. See? But together, that's what Satan is afraid. That we come together. And we believe the same thing. And we agree on the same thing. Because he knows the day that we do that, he lost. So he's working hard. He's working hard in any little thing just to disconnect. You know, bad feelings. This or that. And then we come to a place that we don't trust anybody. That we can talk to anybody. We feel like, well, you know, so be it. I just keep it to myself. There's nothing I can do. It doesn't matter what I said. They're going to do what they want. You know, it happens. Don't tell me that it don't happen. I'm not making things up. I'm too old and I learned a lot. A few things about a few things. I have gone through some of these things and I know a few things. I don't know everything, but I know a few things. And I want to have a good relationship with the pastor, with the church,
Amen.
And with you guys.
Amen.
And that's depend on how well my relationship is with God. And if you said, and I said that my relationship is good, then it should just be just as good with you. And if it's not, then there's something out of cater. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again. I know that this is not a sermon that you can shout and hallelujah and glory to God, but look, you put it on my heart, Father. So I think that you know what your people need, Father. I need it too. We need it, Father. Any corrections, Father, we need anything, Father, that make us to come closer to you and make us better Christians and better to one another, Father. We thank you. Sometimes we don't like it when they rough our feathers, Father, as we said. But Father, we need to learn. If we are going to change, change will come, regardless if we like it or not. If we are Christian, change will come. And we cannot buck against changes when it comes from you. No. It is necessary. Those changes are necessary. If we are going to come together as a bride, in one mind, in one accord, in one body, we're going to have to change, Father. And the best way to change is to be, like I said, honest with one another. The best is to trust, Father. These things is necessary in order to have a healthy relationship. We know it that we know it is at home, so it's the same thing at church. But Lord, we love you and we thank you, and thank you for your instructions, and we ask you, Father, that your people will take this thing at heart and meditate, Father, in these things. Father, because we here so you can speak to us. You are here. Maybe it's my voice, but you put this in my heart. I didn't put it there. So we have need of it. Father, we want to be a big, happy family. And we could be. But it takes the power of the Holy Ghost in our life to change us, Father. To mold us and to shape us to that relationship that you really want. And you long from the foundation of the world that you lost. And now finally, we back, Father. And we want to get to that point where we become that you had in your mind before, that image. That perfect relationship that Adam had with you. That's where we're going back. no doubts, no fear, no criticism, no conflict, no disappointments. I believe that when Adam got up every day was just as beautiful as the day before. The whole creation was in harmony. Adam was in harmony with you. Everything was a big, happy family until Adam fell and the connection was broken. And now we're trying to get back to the same relationship that we had with you before the foundation, like Adam had, Father. That's where we're going to, Father. And as we go on this journey, everything that happened to us, it has a reason to be. And everything that comes our way, it is to shape us and mold us. So we have a good relationship with our brothers and sisters and you, Lord. All this is to shape us. We're going to be a family, not here, but for an eternity. And we cannot just wait. When I get there, God will straighten out my brother and my sister. God will straighten out me. If the way you fall, that's the way you stay. The way the Lord comes, and that is the way you are, and we are, that's the way we stay. The way that the tree falls, that's the way it stays. So I want my change, and I want to be changed before the coming of the Lord, before the rapture. I want to be in a perfect relationship with you and with your people, because that is the right character. And without that character, we are not going anywhere. But the man says that we are the one holding the rapture. God is ready. We need to get ready. So let's work on our relationships with one another. Let's love one another as we love God with all our heart and minds and soul. And let us never feel that we are different from one another in the sense that we are, some are more than others. We are all the same. In God's eyes, we are all the same. Lord, and we thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. Father, we love you and we thank you because you care. And that's why you send the word down, because you care. It's not that you're trying to destroy us. It's not that the pastor don't like us. Or he's trying to do his best. You put him in the care of this congregation to watch over the soul. Father, and he's doing the best, Father, to make sure in that day he's going to be demanding what he done with what God has given him. And he's doing his best to make sure that we line up with that word and we come to a perfect relationship with one another. Father, I know that you had given Brother Doug a heart of a pastor, and he cares about the congregation. He's misunderstood, but he cares. He cares. And I'm not trying to put him in a pedestal, because if you do that, God makes sure he brings him down. And I don't want that to happen to our pastor. Father, but I know that you need flesh to do your work. You use flesh. So, Father, we are not glorifying the flesh, but we know that it is you in the flesh. It is God in us. And you are the only one that deserves all the glory and honor in everything that is done. We thank you again, Father, and we just in awe how you are moving, your spirit's moving in this congregation. I'm in awe how you move, your spirit moves, and the things that are happening and the things that will happen, Lord. I know we are getting closer. We are getting closer, Father, and we are expecting to see more things in the future. Father, this is just the beginning of an end. And these are happening, and we need to jump in the wagon now that we have the opportunity to do that and not wait too late, Lord. Help us to understand, Father, that you love us and we love each other, Father. You gave a commandment. You said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples, when you have love for one another. Father, we thank you. We can love without conditions. That's how you loved us, without conditions. Even when I was a sinner, that you could not love me, you still love me. Because my condition did not determine to love me more, to love me less. Because there's no condition. You just love me. And I thank you for that. And we should love one another the same way, without any conditions. Father, have your way tonight. And we ask you to go with each other as we return to our homes. Father, keep us with Mona and David and those that are sick. May your hand be upon them. Give them strength and health. Quicken them, Father, so they can be with us as soon as possible. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we ask you all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There's a song that says, let me see if I remember. The best thing I ever done was to fall in love with Jesus, something like that. How it goes? I don't know what the title is. Okay, let's sing it. Falling in love with Jesus. Start me. I'd rather be. Let's sing that again.